Starting tomorrow, I'm no longer just a shipping clerk. I'm chairman of the board.
And it's all because of...
Freekeen.com.
Testing. All right. I'm not sure if people can hear me. Okay, so I'm in the New Hampshire Town Hall meeting for, this is October 24th, 2021. And for the moment, I'm in here alone. I've gone ahead and started the recorder. And I guess as long as no one else is here, I will try to just give some updates on what's been going on in the New Hampshire independence movement. Mainly since our last call, there might be a little bit of duplication of effort because sometimes I forget what I've told you all. Let's see. So I'm pulling up Shire Society forum.shiresociety.com right now in my other browser window so I can read the latest news. Usually that's a good place to go to find it all. Very little of interest fails to get posted there, although sometimes there's a delay. And it is a little bit over dependent on me. You know, if I become unavailable, which of course I could, you know, some of the way some of the Catalan independence people became unavailable, other people don't always post everything, you know, that happens to this particular spot. But I find it a really useful place to post things just because it's, you know, you don't have to be logged in to see it. So, you know, Facebook and Telegram are a real mess that way. It really violates the spirit of the internet in my mind. And, you know, Telegram, all that does is give people a false sense of security with no real decentralization. At least there's people watching what you say there, you know, you'll get readers. So that's why I use it. Let's see. Media coverage. We should probably start with the Independence Drive media coverage and work our way forward from there. Let's see if there's been anything interesting that the news has been saying about us that I should quote. They're usually, you know, and it's not every day, but every week they're usually something. So, poking. Oh yes. So Gary Reno, I guess he used to be with the Union Leader. He's been posting shit about us for a while. So he has a new one called "Tribalism and Mob Rule Come to New Hampshire." So, in there, he condemns the New Hampshire independence movement. And there was another one. Let's see. I don't think I can read that. There's a copy of it on NashvilleTelegraph.com. It's mostly behind a paywall. I think if I go to the original source, I can find it and read it. Okay. So the original source is in-depthnh.org, where Reno writes now. And... what is it that he says about the independence movement? I'm looking, and so first he says, anyone who follows politics in New Hampshire has to be disturbed by what happened at the executive council meeting last week at St. Anselm College, unquote. Now, this is the first controversial governor's executive council meeting related to accepting some controversial federal money, $27 million of federal money. There were a bunch of people that went to the meeting to oppose this. Well, so he's not disturbed about the fact that the state is accepting federal money or the fact that this money would reportedly commit New Hampshire to future rulings by certain federal bureaucrats that haven't even been issued yet, or that the money was stolen from people. That's not what he's concerned about. He's concerned that there were protesters in the way they behaved, right? But however, I haven't seen that first meeting. I haven't watched the video, so I don't really know how bad the protesters' behavior was. I don't think anyone was arrested at that one. This would have been around October 1st, 2021. And I'm not really sure quite how exit-related it was. I mean, there were exiters, I think, there. And they mostly, I think, my awareness of this is them handing out flyers. But there was another meeting a week or two later. Oh, the other thing he doesn't see, is he, okay, let's see if he's talking about this. There was another issue with the fact that I guess they were not, there may not have been sufficient notice for the meeting. I'm not sure he mentions that or not. Let's see. Executive council meeting tried to placate. It was a significant thing. You know, I'm having trouble determining whether he brought up the fact that the meeting apparently was not announced sufficiently far in advance. There was insufficient notice apparently given for the meeting. At least that was an accusation. I heard that from several different quarters. Maybe, you know, I shouldn't accuse him of not being upset about that because I can't verify that he didn't mention that. But he just doesn't seem, again, it's amazing what people will get upset about, right? They won't get upset about the federal government stealing their money and doing something terrible with it, or at least something questionable. But they'll get really angry if you show up and, you know, maybe speak out during a meeting, like open and close your mouth at the wrong time. Where is your decorum? Anyway, he does address the independence thing more closely here. Let's see. Okay, so he says, quote, "The COVID-19 pandemic and government actions to stop its spread have been the target of groups, some that even proposed the state secede from the union," unquote. And then he also says, quote, "This movement does not follow the usual political processes to achieve its goal, but instead uses intimidation, threats, and other tactics best described as bullying." So he's claiming that we're all one movement. You know, to me, the anti-mandate folks, I mean, I wish I could say that you know, those 300 people who showed up at the second executive council meeting on accepting this money were all, you know, New Hampshire exit activists. So that is just not the case. I mean, there were probably four or five definite NH exit activists, or, you know, New Hampshire independence activists who were there that I know of. And again, they were mostly handing out flyers. Let's see. Looks like I'm going to have this meeting all to myself. Oh, well, that's okay, because I am good at opening and closing my mouth. So he also says what they want to achieve is minority rule because the vast majority of the state citizens do not agree with them, unquote. So, well, we don't know, because we haven't had the referendum that he apparently wants to keep us from being able to have, you know, keeping you from being able to vote. Because that's really ultimately all the amendment is saying we should be able to vote on it, put it on the ballot. He's not going to talk about that part, the part that he's against democracy on this issue. If it's an issue he doesn't think people should be able to vote on, let's see, like, you know, where the extent of federal control should reach, how far in this direction in the Northeast the federal hand should be able to grab. You know, that is something that's sort of every voter's business. So why doesn't he think we should be able to vote on that? Let's see. Yeah. So, I'm reminded of this quote by Frederick Douglass. I wrote it down here because I thought it was worth bringing up repeatedly as we discuss these matters. I'm pulling it up now on my machine. Frederick Douglass. know that I wrote it down. Talk among yourselves. I'm looking. I know it's here somewhere. Okay, here it is. Quote. If there is no struggle, there is no progress. Those who profess to favor freedom yet deprecate agitation are men who want crops without plowing up the ground. They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the awful roar of its many waters. This struggle may be a moral one, or it may be a physical one. It may be both moral and physical, but it must be a struggle. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. Find out just what any people will quietly submit to, and you have found out the exact measure of injustice and wrong which will be imposed upon them. And these will continue till they are resisted either with words or blows, or with both. The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they oppress. Unquote. Frederick Douglass, who was an escaped slave and prominent abolitionist in the 1850s era. In both cases, right, there was no, well, so there's a claim of threats. I'd like to see the video of that. Maybe someone said something threatening to a government worker, but I watched the second meeting pretty thoroughly on, you know, the video and so forth. And then made 9 arrests at that second one. You know, all the violence came from the authorities. There was no violence by anti-vaccine mandate protesters. And that's kind of what they were there for, is to oppose the this federal COVID funding in New Hampshire. I like to say, you know, we call them anti-vaccine mandate if we want to. But that's, you know, the media was calling them anti-vax, which is, I'm sure that 90% of them would contest that. I don't think I've ever actually met a human who is anti-vaccine. The mandate is what they're against. But, you know, I could take that further and say that, you know, just because you were there and you were opposed to what was going on, you wouldn't even have to be anti-vaccine mandate. You might just be anti-federal funding of vaccine mandates, right? You might be in favor of state mandates. You could. You could be in favor of business mandates, which to some extent I am. I think they certainly shouldn't be stopped. A business shouldn't be stopped from making its own mandates as to who gets vaccinated within its employee ranks and who within people that enter the buildings that the company owns. So I don't even think I'm anti-vaccine mandate, really. certainly I'm against the legislation in Texas, you know, or at least I would be if I lived there. The mandate which stops businesses from having mandates, right? You're not allowed to discriminate against your employees who haven't been vaccinated, even if you're a private company in Texas under this legislation. Now, I'm not sure if this is passed. Maybe it's just proposed or whatnot. But that's another reason, you know, speaking of which, that's another reason to be in favor of independence. Because, you know, when you listen to liberal folks these days or authoritarians on the left, which is not necessarily the same thing, but folks on the left they complain a lot about Texas having new restrictive abortion laws. They complain about Texas, you know, preventing businesses from having a vaccine mandate of their own. And I complain about it. Well, I'm not going to complain about it really. I would vote against it if I was living there, I guess. But you know, why are you in California or New York or New Hampshire so worried about, so upset about laws in Texas, right? Well, it's because you're stuck in the same country with that place, right? Partly. It's not entirely not your business. You know, I mean, even if you lived in a foreign country, it would still kind of be your business in a sense because you might visit Texas. But really, I think what drives the anger is the fact that really New Hampshire is just too connected to Texas and California is too connected to Texas. And Kansas is too connected to Montana, right? I mean, they're all too connected because they're under this same umbrella. Anyway, I'm getting off topic here a little bit. Let's see. Yeah, but certainly, you know, it'd be better if Texas couldn't make policies that affect you a lot in Montana, inside Montana, right? And it's the federal government that enables them to do that. Okay, let's see what else. Other media coverage. I should go going a little bit backwards in time. So that was the second article that guy wrote condemning us. Basically just dismissing us. Not our idea. I mean, there's nothing in there that I could find where he talked about independence being a bad, you know, how it would be bad. It's just like it's assumed that it would be bad. Let's see. Now, here's some criticism of us that comes from a more ballsy source who at least has the guts to take on the idea of independence. And I will try to read this one front to back here, unless someone actually shows up for the meeting. By the way, it would be really helpful if someone could set up a IFTT for this meeting so that it gets posted automatically places. I don't know. IFTT stands for if this, then that. Okay, so let's see. This is a letter to the editor that appeared in Seacoast Online on October 18th. quote, proposal for NH to secede from the USA. To the editor, 9 New Hampshire legislators have submitted a resolution. Firewall, alert, intruder alert. I'm being blocked from seeing this. It's not precisely a firewall. It was more like blackout pop-up. Okay, anyway. I have submitted a resolution, CACR 2022-2243, for our state to peaceably declare independence from the United States and proceed as a sovereign nation, i.e. secede from the Union. They don't seem to have given much thought to what the consequences of such action would be were it ever to happen. This secession proposal comes from members of the Free State Project, a group of anti-government zealots from around the nation who have been moving to New Hampshire for the past 2 decades with the stated goal of taking over state government and creating a libertarian utopia. They selected New Hampshire as their target because of our small population and our narrow political balance, making it possible for them to have a significant effect on legislative actions. According to Free State Project Watch, freestateprojectwatch.org, there are more than 40 free staters in the New Hampshire legislature today elected as Republicans. Some suggest the number, including sympathizers, may be as high as 100. The primary goal of free staters is to reduce the role of the federal government, as espoused by the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC. ALEC says the framers intended for states to cede only a minuscule amount of power to a national government, and that over time, the amassing of federal power has led to overregulation and redundant bureaucracy. Even international relations should be in the hands of state legislatures, Alex says, as they are stakeholders in many of the most important national and international issues of the day. While it is true that in crafting our federal system, the founders stressed that power derives from the people and governmental functions should be carried out at the lowest level practicable, over time, developments in commerce and technology have made it increasingly necessary to regulate matters at national or even international level. To reflect nostalgically on simpler days of the 18th century before automobiles, airplanes, and computers is not a sound basis for running our country today. Secessionists are by definition not patriots, and with their growing representation in our state and local government, free staters pose a palpable risk. They have been introducing proposals to slash local and state budgets, undermine public education, neglect roads, bridges, and other infrastructure, and overturn community priorities. For more, see the website granitestateprogress.org. What we can do about this, since Free Staters run as Republicans, and since other Republicans support many of their priorities, is to show up at the polls and elect Democrats. Regardless of impediments Republicans place in the way of voting, we need to fight our way through and vote. Don Nolte, Exeter, unquote. I'm not sure if I'm saying his last name correctly, and apologies if I'm not. But one thing that kind of stood out to me here was, yeah, the use of ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council. I barely even heard of them. Not aware of them sort of driving the Free State agenda or whatnot, or being a model for the Free State. But it sounds like, you know, when he's quoting them, they do have a point, these ALEC people. There was something else he said that was in here that was worth responding to. But before I respond more to this letter to the editor, something popped into mind regarding Gary Reno's previous articles, where he was saying that the majority of New Hampshireites don't support independence, or that the vast majority of them don't support independence. That's actually open to question. The union leader, of course, ran that unscientific poll where 71% of the respondents voted in favor of the right to vote on New Hampshire independence, of having this on this constitutional amendment on the ballot. That's not a scientific poll, so maybe the number is a lot lower than that. It wouldn't surprise me if it's lower, but it might not be a lot lower. There was another union leader poll done on the same subject, basically, in 2016. And actually, it was asking if we should outright have independence. And 41%, even in 2016, voted in favor of independence on that version of the poll. So we're two for two here, sort of. I mean, if you're asking whether, you know, significant support is behind us, it certainly was in both polls. Not necessarily a majority. But again, this is the Hail Mary pass that doesn't have to be caught, right? I mean, just throwing the pass will have its own effect. It will, in theory, cause the central government to become more cautious because it doesn't want this kind of vote to happen again. And it may know that certain actions that it takes would cause this vote to happen again or to get more votes. So anyway, I'm so caught up in the the news coverage of us here that I probably should just go ahead and jump straight to telling you some news that I know myself that's happened to us or things that we have done. Despite the fact that the Exeter presence was fairly small at this big executive council meeting, there was an Exeter arrested at the second meeting in mid-October. A New Hampshire exit activist, although she's not very active in that issue directly, but she is on the NH Exit Telegram group, and it does engage with us and is in favor of New Hampshire independence. So and she is an activist, so it's fair to call her an exit in New Hampshire exit activist. Her name is Therese Grinnell, and she was arrested at the second executive council meeting. It would have been in Concord. They held it at a police building, inside a police building, significantly. and 9 people were arrested. She was charged with disorderly conduct. She apparently wasn't arrested for anything she had done at the meeting. It must have been for something she had done before, because she was just sitting there at the meeting. They came and arrested her while she was sitting there. So she was in jail for about an hour. There's a claim that she was either forced into or tricked into paying $40 in bail money. I don't know if she'll get that back or how that works. But I don't think you're supposed to have to pay the $40 anymore in New Hampshire because of new legislation. I think she was reporting that 6 of the 9 were probably arrested for something they had done before, and then there were 3 of the 9 who were arrested. And again, from looking at the video, this is fairly obvious. You know, when people start getting arrested in front of you and it seems unjust, you're supposed to speak up, right? You're supposed to get video, you know, and you're not necessarily supposed to throw something at the cop, you're not supposed to be just silent, right? We're all told that, aren't we, from birth, by our parents, that you see something, you say something like that. Anyway, so apparently it seems like 3 of the people were arrested for speaking out against the arrest. That's the impression that I got. One lady had the common sense to make sure that she didn't go softly. She just let them drag her, and she complained, you know, vociferously about being arrested. So that I think that's good. I don't think it's good to walk where they tell you to walk at full speed when you're being arrested. You want to at least go slowly. If you go at all, I think it was successful when Pete Eyre chose not to walk out of Keene District Court when they arrested him there around 2008. He let them drag him out in the snow at 2-degree temperatures, and Sam Dodson did the same thing. And it results in many more people learning about your grievances, because the video winds up being dramatic. And you probably are going to get hurt. Sam Dodson was certainly hurt. He was screaming like a wolf with the pain they were putting him through, moving him around. It resulted in a lot of cuts, I guess, or at least in one serious cut. He was dragged out of the same location, Keene District Court, around 2009. And actually, that was not an event where I was on trial for trying to film in Keene District Court previously. But that's what happens, you know. If you make a couple of arrests, you start having to make follow-up arrests, because people will object to the arrests in some form or fashion. And because you're not the kind of person who lets people object to things in your government building, you know, open and close your mouth, you wind up arresting them. So it turns into a sort of an explosion of arrests. Speaking of which, the people who were protesting at the governor's house back in the December 2020 era, another one of those has been arrested. Frank Staples, a.k.a. Footloose, a Free Stater. I don't know what his... You know, I wouldn't call him an NH exit activist. I don't see him directly involved in that much. He's probably in favor of it. But he was arrested for he tried to attend a court hearing and was arrested for having been at the executive council meeting with the governor and these federal money protests. So again, it's tangentially exit related. Basically, in a sense, we have two new arrests to report, and there's going to be more before there's less. On the positive side, a federal political prisoner from New Hampshire named Jerry DeLamas is expected to be released in November, early to mid-November. So it'll be an early release for him. However, he is expected to be coming out of his gulag in bad physical condition, or at least in need of medical care, which apparently he hasn't been getting. At least his supporters imply that he hasn't been getting it. That would be a reasonable thing to expect from a jail. No, not reasonable. It would be a believable thing to expect from a New Hampshire, or an American prison. He was arrested for his involvement in either the Malheur Wildlife Standoff or the Bundy Ranch Standoff. I'm not sure which. He was out there in the 2015 era. They SWAT teamed his house later on in Rochester and charged him with conspiracy and extortion. But where's the video, right? Like, where's the proof? And, you know, what was he, what exactly, it seemed, I got the impression he was conspiring against and extorting a nuclear superpower, right? Right? Like, how helpless were they against him? Well, not very. And I just don't know that he, you know, what he did exactly, except be there. I don't even think he was there during the standoff, maybe, or at least there was a claim that he wasn't really there during the standoffs, but more like afterwards. I don't know. What I do know is that he was given extra years in jail or prison because he tried to change his plea. Now, that sounds like a war crime, trying to change your plea. All right. Let's try to summarize quickly now. So, let's see. House protesters in court enforcing nonviolent discipline in the New Hampshire Liberty Movement. I'm just reading through the titles of these posts to see if there's any other news here. ReopeningH.com warns governors still trying to ram through Fed COVID bribe. Well, I have an update on that. ReopeningH has updated us that the governor's second attempt, third attempt to get that Fed COVID bribe through has also been withdrawn. They're going to try something, they're going to be a fourth try to do something. And I'm not sure exactly what that is. If you go to reopeningh.com, you can find out. But it looks like three different victories for reopen, the reopen crowd, the anti-mandate crowd. COVID bribe. Let's see. Only state to. Oh, there is also a petition up now on change.org. For the New Hampshire Nine. These are the people who were arrested in the executive council meeting over that federal money mid-October. Unfortunately, this petition is difficult to find if you go to change.org. I've posted it to forum.shiresociety.com, but you have to go to this thread called NH Only State to Reject and scroll down. Man, that's sorry to give you such a difficult mission there. I guess if you rewind the video, you can get the instructions on how to find that change.org. There was also a fundraiser for the New Hampshire Nine, which had raised $15,000 for their legal defense within the first 5 days. I do not remember where that was posted. But again, forum.charitysociety.com has a lot of different details. If you're not already looking at it, it would be useful, a useful place to gather information. And I think all of the people arrested, all nine of them, I got the impression were arrested for disorderly conduct charges. This is what I was charged with when I tried to film in Keene District Court in 2009. I believe it came with a maximum $250 fine. But I also believe it is a misdemeanor that can give you up to a year in jail. In my case, they gave me 6 days for basically just for refusing to pay the $250 fine. Okay, I'm not seeing any additional news except this debate. There's a debate. Okay. There will be a debate on New Hampshire independence at the Lower Mill Room B10, 3 Front Street, Rollinsford, NH. It says Monday. That means October. Oh, that must be October 25th. So it's tomorrow, which. That's really coming up. By the time you see this, I guess it'll be too late. So it looks like Alu Exelman will be debating against someone. Okay, well, I'm sure that I'm missing something, but that's the news that I have off the top of my head and from ChireSociety.com. I guess I should probably reiterate, as long as I got you here, that there is another grievance related to New Hampshire independence and another thing that helped spawn this independence drive. And that is the attack on library by the federal government. You may not have heard near as much about this as the attack on the Crypto Six, but the feds sent they're shaking down New Hampshire's YouTube alternative. New Hampshire has this thing called Library, which is a library.com, LBRY.com. Which is a decentralized alternative to YouTube, and man, that's run by a free stater, credible guy. The site works fairly well. You know, it has some problems, but there's other things it does really well. For example, they will pay you to transfer your YouTube channel over there, and they will automate the process for you. They dumped like 1,000 of my videos in there, and paid me to copy my videos. So it helped me and helped them, and they paid me. The Securities and Exchange Commission came after them, claiming that their cryptocurrency they created is a security, and that for this they must pay like a $2 million fine or something like that. So far they've refused to pay that, and they're fighting in court. But, you know, people will say, they complain, well, you know, YouTube can censor people because it's a private company, right? So, okay, they can censor people. So you can set up a competing organization where you don't censor people and we can let the market decide, right? That's, in theory, how this is supposed to work. However, it doesn't, because they come for the little company, but they let Google do whatever it wants, right? In the old days, something like Google, all this censorship that Google's doing, that would result in calls for antitrust action, because they have essentially a monopoly on uploading videos that people can actually see, you know, in large numbers, or that will get seen in large numbers. And they use that to quell speech, basically. In fact, I've actually never seen a company behave worse than YouTube. I mean, this is on the level of the Bhopal disaster in India, right? The Union Carbide thing. You know, at least that was an accident, right? It did get people killed, but I'm sure that censorship gets people killed too. Anyway, nothing much else I can mention. The Nonviolent Discipline Protocol thread has a lot of activity on Shire forums, and that's related to NHExit. As this thing gets more and more serious and they crack down on us more and more, it's becomes more and more important that our reaction is obviously better than their action. And so you want to keep your head. Do not allow yourself to fall into the trap of violent resistance. Whether you think this is ethical or not, the problem with violent resistance is that it reduces your independence movement's chances of success by a factor of 2. You become 50% less likely to get your independence if your movement goes violent in its independence drive. At least if you trust the academic data that has been collected by Erica Chenoweth, who I do trust, maybe a little bit too instinctively. I'm not a complete expert on her, but having heard her out for a long period of time, a person who thought you could not achieve much change with peaceful resistance movements, changed her mind when she saw the data. What she saw was that, you know, resistance movements like the one that tried to get Ireland free from Britain, are less likely to be successful than resistance movements like Gandhi's movement or like Martin Luther King's movement. That, she says, is usually much more effective. And if you have two separate movements, one of which is violent, one of which is not, that also harms your chances for independence, although not as much. So if we're going to see our path clear to successful independence, that is the most important thing we need to do is have nonviolent discipline. And as you may know, if you follow me at all, then my nonviolent discipline protocol is, of course, not only to make sure I'm not violently resisting government, but also I have a protocol of, I guess what you might call disassociation with people who continually advocate for that sort of thing. So the thing is, if I hear someone advocate for violence against one or more American governments, I'll send them a warning. And if I catch them doing it again, I basically cut them off. I might not be angry with them. I'm not going to start disliking them necessarily, but no more, like, I'm not going to be sending those people mail in jail. They're not going to get help or support from me. So far, I've never had to cut anyone off. I've issued about 4 or 5 warnings, and that's always been enough so far. Sooner or later, unfortunately, I will have to part ways with certain people. And of course, other people are following my protocol and their reaction and their relations with others, maybe not as vigorously. But this is not something that just comes from me or Erica Chenoweth, but the idea, I got the idea from Sergei Pope, no, Sergei, Ivan Jorovic, the Serbian activist who had played such a critical role in stopping the Balkan Wars by overthrowing Slobodan Milosevic. He said that you have to have three pillars in your movement. He ran a movement, or was prominent in a movement called Otpor, which, you know, again, stopped the Serbian government and changed its president without firing a shot. He said you have to have nonviolent discipline, you have to have unity, and you have to have one. Let's see what he said here. Unity. Let's see. Well, there was a third thing you have to have. I forget what it was. Anyway, I thought this was worth drawing attention to. And I can't think of anything else to tell you. So I guess I will stop recording, and looks like I can, in fact, talk for 40 minutes. but I'd rather it next time there were people here. All right. Peace out. US out of NH. NH out of US. NHexit.com.
What are you arresting this man for?
You've seen the dramatic liberty arrests in Keene, New Hampshire. Now see 111 reasons why you should move there and reinforce these gutsy activists. Keene's advantages are compelling, and the list of reasons to move has just been updated. For details, visit freekeene.com.